Blog Talk Radio.
Because you're relying on me, shall break every chain. The conquering lion shall break every chain. Give him the victory again and again.
Peace, everyone. I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to Brother DeWall.
Is Brother Mahal?
Yes, sir.
I'm on.
Okay. We both had to get patched in, huh?
Yeah. And that means that the show is very popular when they start doing that. Because yeah. I know I was pretty much on time and already it said that it was full. I was like, what? I looked at the clock. I was like, they got to be kidding.
Yeah, right, because I called in at 12:47.
Yeah, that's around the time I called in.
Yeah.
But that's a good thing. But go ahead, Brother DeWall. I'm sorry. Go ahead, brother.
Yeah, yeah. Let me give a little introduction. Sister Shonda, she's going to be at yoga, she said. She was going to try to, but I guess she'll get in on the computer. Because she knows she can't get in on this, but the subject that we're going to talk about, I give an introduction here, Brother Mahal, is government. And this is a subject that has not been taught to nobody that looked like me and you for one simple reason. Government. All governments in the world is a caste system. I'm going to say that real slow. A caste system is the oldest form of government in the world, which comes from Hinduism, when it became the first, the oldest religion in the world is Hinduism. All government is based upon religion. That's all government. Now, the one that we are concerned with is the one that was established in 1776, is when some Anglo-Saxons changed their name to Americans. And the first America was John Hancock. He was the first one to sign. The reason he was the first one to sign, he was the grand poutinet of Lodge Number One in Philadelphia. All government is established by a secret society. I'll say that again. All governments are established by a secret society. The secret society of the United States is the Scottish Rite Illuminati Masons at Lodge Number One in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. That's where their headquarters is from the beginning. It's a museum now. How we know that this is the Illuminati Secret Society, but that's got some static in the background. Yeah.
It's not on my side.
It must be on Brother Drew's side. Brother Drew. Sister Drew. Sister Drew.
Yes, sir.
We got some static on your side, I think.
Oh, okay. I know what it was.
Yes, ma'am.
Go ahead, bro.
Okay. The secret society, how we know that this is the Illuminati Masons that we're dealing with that has this government is the Great Seal of the United States of America. We asked ourselves, where did that seal come from? It comes from the Illuminati's, the Great Seal. So in order us to find out the history of this, we have to start with 1776. But the government over here didn't start with 1776. You first have to understand what is a colonial form of government. Colonized.
Right.
This is the first form of government that was over here, meaning that the first form of government that was over here that was established by these people was called the 13 colonies. And then you had to know who was the 13 colonies. The 13 colonies, four of the 13 original colonies were set up by trading companies. Virginia by the London New Netherlands by the Dutch, Massachusetts by the Massachusetts Bay Company, and Delaware by a Swedish company in 1638. Seven colonies was founded by proprietorship. Now, that's deep right there, because proprietorship means that one man controlled all of what is known as Maryland, which was by Sir George Cabinet, Baltimore, New Hampshire by John Mason, New Jersey was owned by Sir Walter Berkeley and Sir George Kindred, the Carolinas by a group of royal favorites, Pennsylvania by William Penn, and that's a very history. You had to know all of this history right here. Pennsylvania by
right.
William Penn.
Right, so much So much so that the state's named after him, Pennsylvania.
Right. Yeah, see, that everything started with William Penn. This is where the headquarters start. And New York, is property of James Duke of York. The Massachusetts Bay
right.
Country of America takes its charter loan, converted the ventures into Connecticut, Rhode Island, and Massachusetts.
Mm-hmm.
So colonial form of government, you had to understand what it was first before you understand what the government of America. The government of America is a caste system. George Washington was against the Illuminatis, who was with Wall Street. You can go, oh, you got plenty of information on what we're talking about now. When me and Brother Mahal said, you couldn't hire if you weren't a Mason. You had to do some heavy digging in the 60s and the 70s and the 80s and the 90s to find this information out, what we are talking about, because I learned about this back in the 50s and 60s because I was a Mason. My daddy was a Mason, brother, and all my people was Masons. So in the protocol, it said keep everything Masonic. So that's what we're doing, keeping everything Masonic. The Stewart Department, the Stewart. You have to go to the Stewart. And see, the Stewart was over England at that time, and John Hopkins was one of their captains that brought the first slaves on the good ship Jesus of Luxor in 1555, not 1619, as they want to start that history in 1619. No, you start that history in a chronological order. You started with 1555 and the Stewarts. This is why America got colonized, was because people disagreed with the government, the English government, that was working them up under these charters. They got pissed off at them, and they come to the New World. It was called the New World at that day.
Mm-hmm.
And each people migrated over here. This government, when George Washington became the first president, we'll let you be a president for 1 year. I see why now, and they wouldn't let you be a representative or senator but 2 years, and I understand why they did that, because if you stayed more than 2 years, you would be corrupt. And you would sure enough be corrupt when Thomas Jefferson is the brainchild of democracy. See,
right.
This who started democracy, and it ain't never been no democracy in the United States, because democracy is supposed to represent the Pope people, and the Pope people ain't never had a representative to prove to that. When Jefferson appointed all his people, he appointed what? The aristocrats or the father of the constitutions. James Madison was his secretary of state. If you go down the history of who all his cabinet was, then they all was aristocrats. So a democracy ain't never been in what became the United States, and these was countries at first. New York and all of them, they was classified as 13 colonies, was classified as countries. They wasn't called states at that time. And so when we look at this word democracy, which got every damn black African American mind totally messed up that they live under democracy. Democracy, the government ain't nobody gonna let come in a country because it is not a form of government. Because you have what kind of forms of government nationwide? Every government nationwide has what is called an invincible government, a shadow government that's been running it way longer from this electoral fixture that are Democratic and Republican, in this country that are Democratic and Republican Party put in. The Constitution do not even make provisions for you to have a Democrat and Republican Party. Up under our Constitution, there's only one political party, and that's a federalist. This was the first political party. This is what Trump was trying to tell you when he said that the New World Order was the old world order. We already been knowing that the New World Order is the old world order. All what we talk about is on a dollar bill, but it's wrote in a dead language called Latin. You had to understand a dead language people don't use no more. It's wrote in on a dollar bill. All of the knowledge is wrote on the dollar bills and signs, symbols, and numbers. If you understand that of a Scottish Rite Illuminati Mason, if you understand those signs, symbols, which I was taught a long time ago about them by great great grandpa. This arena I know at 77 years old what it's all about. This was up under a confederation of federalists. So you had to understand that this is a confederation. And as time went on, you can see where the officials stay in office as long as Royce West and Eddie Bernice Johnson and David Duke and what's this boy that was in Louisiana and Mississippi, George Wallace, how they stayed in office so long when they should have been gone after 2 years. You can see how this government has become corrupt under a falsehood. A government controls the mind of the people. That's the reason you were taught. They put you up under what they call a government system. And when you get a certain age, you go to their system. You learn about what their system is. But when we go back and look at the early beings, all of these colonies was established upon the religion. Religion was the major interest of America in establishing America. And Brother Mahal, I got real, real tickled because I had bought a book and Mama kept this book when I came home from college. I took a course at Ranger Junior College called History of American Democracy. And that's what I'm doing this lecture out of my old Ranger Junior College book. And it tells everything that when I was studying out of this book, I was an A student out of this. But I tell you what, Brother Mahal, I didn't understand a damn thing that I read. After I reread it many years later and reread and researched, then I started understanding, and I'm understanding real good now that I'm coming, that we're doing some of this lecture out of that book. The History of the United States is another history book that Big Mama had when she was in the 10th grade. I got this book, and that tells me about everything of how this country was organized and what we fall up under, and it tells you everything And we can see in 2022 where the control of the mind is religion. And the control of the black African American mind is that of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it tells you how they have completely genocide you. The South rose again through the Democratic Party, and it didn't rise after 1970. The Democratic Party didn't have no power until 1970. Joe Biden said that they didn't have no power until the black African American became the most loyal member of the Democratic Party. They tell you how they completely genocide a nation of people, and you don't even know anything about it. The Revolutionary War was fought for independence. It wasn't fought for freedom. It wasn't fought for liberty, and it wasn't fought for jeopardy, for justice. It fought for independence. It's a difference between independence and freedom and justice. Now you understand why your dark complexion butt ain't never got no liberty, justice, or freedom. Then we go look on the word freedom, Brother Mahal. Freedom say one who is free from government rule is a person that has freedom. Well, ain't nobody in the world got no damn freedom. So all you niggas that talking about my freedom and this and this, you can throw that word completely out of existence because your government don't recognize freedom. It's a good idea, but it ain't a damn reality. Ain't now one of them words, nothing but an idea. It ain't in no form of anybody's government. None whatsoever. So we can see that in 2022. We can see how we've been hoodwinked, cable told everything, and believing something that we didn't go research and know nothing about. Now there is not only nation government is good for you to know right now. But another form of government has came into existence since 1914 under Woodrow Wilson that has been kept a secret all the way up until now. Even when we were studying, we knew about it because we had certain books that told us about world government. And world government is different from national government because world government rules national government, meaning there is a world government that tells Putin, that tells the United States, we're going to do this, and when we do this, you're going to do that. And we're going to let Russia mess with the economy and the minds of the people of America because America don't want to fall in line of the New World Order. We go let Putin mess with them. The Federals will have to go up on your gas, and your that means that your groceries is going in because go up because they have to be trucked in. Everything that you buy or consume has to be trucked in. So all of them prices will go up if we start a war with Russia. It ain't going to hurt Russia because only 25% of Russian shit is over here anyway. So you ain't hurting Russia's economy by putting sanctions on them. You ain't hurting them not one damn bit. And we got over in the wings. I laughed yesterday when this news came on, Brother Mahal. it says that Korea Kim done tested 4 or 5 nuclear bombs. So the next conflict that America will have, when this dies down, well, we can see it coming, and we gonna wait for it. We can see it, but it ain't happened yet. It ain't happened yet. We gonna be at war with Kim, and it bring the America economy down again. Now Trump didn't have these people didn't have no problem with Trump, and they didn't have no problem Russia. Kim Jong Un, these people didn't have no problem with Donald Trump when he was in office. They had no problem with him. So we can see that there's a certain class of people over here that their government is not down. Rodrigo got unmuted again. we can see that, Brother Mahal. We can see
right.
that. And we also can see that no, ask ourselves a question.
You say you need shock?
Brother Drew. Brother Drew.
Yeah.
You, we can hear you talking.
Oh, sorry about that.
So we can see, we ask ourselves a question. What three aristocrat groups rule the American government? We'll know that the Republicans is the Council of Foreign Relations. We know that the Democrat is the Trilateral Group. We know that the Council of Foreign Relations and the Trilateral Group buys their goods from world government, who is the Bilderberg. So you got three groups over here in America that rules government. See, the President of the United States, let's get this, he is the chair spokesman for the Council of Foreign Relations. Meaning he ain't in charge of a goddamn thing. Me and you could be, anybody can be the president of the United States. It's a puppet, what we call a pawn in this big old chess game. He ain't the king, he ain't the queen. He's the pawn. He's the pawn in the game. His speeches is wrote. He tells you what is told to him. So most people think, oh, it's the president. You don't understand the damn government. You don't understand how this government works when you're talking about the president is the cause of it. And, oh, this is far deeper than that. It's world government telling the United States what to do and what not to do. Because we see that some people is holding out. We know who. You don't get no hell out of nothing but the Democrat Party. They ain't on board with what's going to happen in less than 6 years because the Democrat-Republican government don't last for 250 years. This is 244 years, and you can already see it falling because the Democrat-Republican government go through 4 different stages, and we at the last stage. Meaning that it will fall. So I want to give a little introduction of that, and I let Brother Mahal go ahead on and take you, baptize you more in the water. Go ahead on, brother.
Well, greetings, and thank you for that. I mean, that was very good information to start off with, seriously. And you had to say all that you said so that people can get a well-rounded and painted picture of the things that exist currently. So, you know, it's really interesting that we start. Now, I did pull up the tabs because you started discussing very briefly about the caste system. That is spelled C-A-S-T-E. And, of course, keep in mind that the Hindu system, which started as a religious system, is a very old system. So, so much for people saying everybody is the same. You know, oh, yeah, well, we're all humans. Yeah, you can go as far as that is concerned, but that's where you draw the line, because the Hindus have a history and are on the clock for the oldest religion on the planet, 38,000, 39,000 years old. They've been around for a minute. And originally, before we refer to now today the country as India, they were known as Hindu. Okay, keep that in mind. And in the older languages, they're referred to as the Hin people. There's a whole different race of human beings here. The things they've done, the technology in this, but they had a system that they did put into place. So very briefly, the caste system divides Hindus into four main categories. Now, there's actually five, but they talk about four. And they say, okay, one of, and I'm going to look for the one right here. One of them, the second level of the Varnas in the Hindu system, is the warriors. The first is the Brahmin. Okay, the Brahmin says single spiritual power that Hindus believe lives in everything. Okay, well, there's the creative force. Then let's go down to the third, and the third is the worker class, third class. Now, you know, they used to use that word regarding us and others over here. You're second, you're a third class citizen. Where were they getting that from? Well, a system that they borrowed concepts from to actually, they were using Hindu definitions while at the same time telling you this in English. So worker class, the legs, all of this, the people who did the work. Now, let me get off that one and go to Brother Dwagar. You brought up colonial. And one of the things you mentioned in colonial was proprietary. And sure enough, they talk about three different types of British colonies: royal, proprietary, and self-governing. Now, self-governing isn't exactly what someone may think at first hearing the word self-governing. Oh, I'm free to do whatever. No. You are still beholden to someone. Someone calls the shot. Someone speaks for you. Remember, all of this is still coming out of the order. You are not free to freelance in the planet after someone has taken the time to establish you. That is not the way it works. And again, I always like to draw upon our military experience. We understand that what type of system that is, and most people don't understand this. Sailors, airmen, soldiers, Marines, Coast Guard, they included in this as well. We are not under the Constitution. Our role has been to protect the Constitution, which is why in times of insurrection, under the Uniform Code of Military Justice, which is our own legal system, okay, we can be employed to put down any insurrection against government. People are trying to understand how, so we're not like that local police officer in your neighborhood in a squad car. No, they swearing to the same oath, but their first call is a protection of property, lives, and as such, as it relates to what they do. When the military is called in, they come under our control, which is military, Uniform Code of Military Justice, and they have to do it the way we give direction for things to be done, period. There's no, you know, in my time I spent in the New York Army National Guard after regular Army service, it's to the federal government and it's to the state. So we have two bosses. It all depends on what's going on. So the governor, and here's the terms, I'm highlighting these terms, the governor is our first boss. The governor is governing over what? A system that And there's the state constitution, or the federal constitution is what I should have started to say, mirrors the state constitution. Once upon a time, the state could mint its own money. It's in the state's constitution. If you take the time in your states, get a copy, pull it up online, and read what it says, especially when it gets to money, currency. Gold and silver was the only legal form of tender. So before the federal government can actually came up with their own form of the currency, the states back in the day had their own coinage. And you knew which state that coinage was minted, where it was minted. You knew. Now, proprietary, and this is very interesting because you mentioned something here. Proprietary, excuse me, really dealt with the ones who owned property, property holders, property owners. So again, back to what you were saying about proprietary. So, and that's under colonial government. So I'm trying to do this in stages. We mentioned a little bit about caste, the caste system, and then before you have what is called the federal government of the United States, we had colonial, and they had different styles here. So when you mentioned the Duke of York, that was under a royal charter. Then you had William Penn. That's proprietary. And anything else that was spun off of that. And keep in mind, William Penn, correct me if I'm wrong, Brother Duarte, he was a Protestant, wasn't he not?
He was what?
A Protestant.
Right.
Right. And then what was set up in the District of Columbia is Catholic.
Right.
So people need to pay attention to why these forms of government are in two different places, in, you know, on the same landmass. Why is that? So you have to pay attention to what schools of thoughts they subscribe to. And yes, they had wars against each other. Sure they did. And so, yeah, they definitely did. And Washington,
yeah,
at the time of when he was a commissioned officer, he was a colonel. I learned that in military history. He wasn't a general. Later on, somebody was calling this guy a general. He was a colonel, okay? And he had people who looked like us in his infantry, in his foot soldier regiment, okay? And there's a difference between federal government and colonial government. So when the Congress was first established, we're talking about, it was called the Continental Congress.
Right.
They didn't use the term federal yet. All these titles come about later, after 1775, 1776, with the formation. And the Constitution itself wasn't even put into action and fully ratified until 1789. So there's a lot of things they did not explain to us in the classroom. Now, let's go here to government. They talk about different types of governments. They have democracy as we know it today. They said, better yet, let's look at the U.S. The federal government is composed of three distinct branches, legislative, executive, and judicial. So correct me if I'm wrong, Brother Duarte, we're going back to the Angles, Saxons, and the Jutes. And remember, I believe it's the three of them that came together as one under the new title of American. And each one of them, in honor and recognition of the three, each of them had their part to play with these three branches, legislative, executive, and judicial. So all of these things, they have a fingerprint, and they left footprints leading up to where they ultimately ended up together. So democracy, a republic, a monarchy, communism, and a dictatorship. So this is what they're listing today as the five types of government. Okay, so let me get off that, and let's go to world government. Now, Wikipedia has something that they mentioned, world government or global government. Now, before they used these terms in the United Nations, they wasn't using these terms as they use them today. They used to just solely use the word world governance. That's the term they use. So it sounded less threatening. Oh, they're not trying to impose anything on us. And then the organizations and agencies that were set up within were called NGOs, non-governmental organizations, non-government organizations, NGOs. Now, no one's talking about them like that anymore. Everything, the gloves are off, the hats are off, and everyone's busting this move to form and make happen. It's not that it needs to be formed. And right now, the list is this. 170 allied nations. This is what they've got right now. Hold on a second here.
Brother Mahal.
I had to get that cough out. I didn't want to cough over the mic. Yes, sir.
Brother Mahal.
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. Let me apologize for 1 second here. And you started into another form of government, which is called world government. Well, world
right.
government is called the Committee of 300. And
yes,
it was very interesting when I see the number one government in world government is Zionism. The number two is communism. The number three is favorism. The number four is socialism and liberalism. Well, you don't see nowhere you see in this world form of government, democratic and republic. You don't see it. You don't see it. And I find it very interesting that the third government, which is favorism, you can ask the person, what is favorism? They don't know. But let me tell you what favorism was.
Mm-hmm.
We just had a good example of favorism. Bernie Sanders, hardcore Democrat. Hillary Clinton, favorism Democrat. We done had an example of this shown to us, this form of government, and we didn't know a damn thing about it because, see, favorism came through the Democratic Party. They broke on
right.
certain beliefs. So look up the word favorism. Dude, I got a whole book on the damn shit of favorism. We know this when Hillary and Bernie, we were laughing about Hillary and Bernie. That's two different kinds of Democrats. It's a Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama Democrat, and then it's a Bernie Sanders Democrat.
This yeah. And here's the thing. Right.
As we speak. And see, the next thing on this graph is the United Nations and the members of the nation. Then the next is the King of Saudi Arabia and the Sheikh of Dubai, Kuwait, when
right.
you see the United States government, it is on the bottom. And it falls up under the heading of the Royal Institution of International Affairs and the Travis Scott
mm-hmm.
Institute of Human Relations and the Club of Rome, NATO, and then the U.S. military is on the bottom. But in world government, you have no place for a democratic and republican form of government. That's how you know who's holding out. World government is already established all but over. These are the people that's holding out. That's when America got to fall, brother. It's less than 6 years. It's got to become part of world government up under a new name, and it won't be a Democratic and Republican.
Right, and right, and it won't be something that the people currently recognize.
Here's something else that me and you know, that this is supposed to be the new Jerusalem, so America going to be headquarters for Zionism for the world. That's what
exactly.
We're looking at now. That's when we study these books, when we use logical thinking, when we use reasoning, then this is the new Jerusalem, they said.
Right.
You
know, let me add something to what you're saying. They got the committee of 300, right?
Zionism. You had to know the teaching of the Zionists. My great-great-grandpa was a Zionist. On my mama's side, see, my mama had three. She Cherokee and Ashkenazi. And my great-great-grandfather, I was his caddy. I was 13 years old when he died. From 9 to 13, I caddied for him every Sunday at 2 o'clock. Pick me up. And he talked to me. Teach me Yiddish. See, they don't speak no damn Hebrew. They speak Yiddish.
Yeah, they do.
That's another lecture we need to get on. See, so we've been bullshitting so much. But we can see when we do this lecture here, when we do this history, we can see what is going on right now in America. America's holding back from world government.
Right.
Up under a Democratic Party. The Republican Party, they're on board. But the Democratic Party ain't. And it's two forms of Democrat, favorism and hardcore. Bernie Sanders and Hillary. That's the way I named the Democratic Party. That is Bernie Sanders followers, and there's Hillary Clinton and Obama. Clinton's put favoritism into the – that's when you see favoritism coming into the Democrat parties with the Clintons, when you trace the
right.
history.
And I found something up here. You were talking about the Committee of 300, right? And just so the listening audience can understand, the Committee of 300 wasn't formed yesterday. They've been around for a while, since the 1700s, according to the history that I'm looking at right now. It said they were also known as the Olympians. Okay? And I'm like, what? Hold up. I've heard of the Olympians, and now this is forcing me to put it together. It says the proponents of the theory alleging the committee's existence believe it to be an international council that organizes politics, commerce, banking, media, and the military for centralized global efforts. So you've got Putin pushing, giving some pushback against three of these. Actually, it's all four things being weighed, being pushed down on him. So they've got the politics, the commerce. They're not going to allow him to trade and do a bunch of other things. Then we've got the banking. And then you've got what the media is doing. And now the last component that they're trying to put together is the military piece. How exactly are we going to do this? How are we going to confront this guy? Okay, well, we just can't go up and set all this advanced technology up in Ukraine like this. Romania is giving some pushback. Hungary is giving some pushback. You know, they're like, no, we don't want you to send, they don't want the U.S. to send any more troops over to their territory. So right now, the only place warm for, excuse me, is Germany, obviously, because of a treaty and agreements, and Poland. It's like, wow, really? And if you look at the history, Russia and Poland, during World War II, they weren't enemies. They were not. Neither was the Ukraine and Russia. Now, people don't understand this under the communist system. Under the communist system, Russia was not running the CCCP. That's not how that went. A Soviet Socialist Republic. That's not how that went. Russia, with its own president, was one of the Warsaw Pact countries. You had the Ukraine. It had its own president. Poland had his own. This is not new. Yugoslavia. All those areas, when there was once a Yugoslavia, they had their own. Hungary, Kazakhstan, Tajikistan, Turkmenistan. All of them had their own leaders, but under this agreement of the Warsaw Pact, as we said here in the West, you know, it wasn't one of the countries running the show. So now that the other countries have rolled over, capitulated, saying, okay, we want what you guys got in the West, okay, now Russia is still standing. And people don't think Russia is a communist country. It still is. And all you have to do is pay attention to their parades that they hold every year, and you will see that. So this it talks about the guy who was first talking about this committee of 300, going back to this. It says the theory dates to a statement made by German politician Walter Rathenau in a 1909 article. And he talks about, you know, the 300 men, all of whom know one another, guide the economic destinies of the continent and seek their successors from their own line, their own association, pretty much. Other people, well, this guy's a such and such, this, that, like you said earlier, these guys ain't running anything, the ones that we see out in front of us. They don't call the shots. Go ahead, Brother DeWadia.
The story of the Committee of the 300, I done read this book over 50 times. There's a book by Dr. John Coleman called The Story of the Committee of 300. For people that like to study, this is a book that I have what my daddy used to say a must do. When my daddy would tell me it's a must-do activity, that means that if you don't do what he said, his ass will be coming behind it. But the ass will be you'll get is not knowing knowledge. But this book by Dr. John Coleman, I recommend everybody read that. I've just done read it over 50 times because this is one of the books that Coe and I, 35 years ago, we studied out of this book with Mahal when we had the Knaf. We studied out of this book.
Right, exactly.
Here. Yep. Yeah, and
we also had the protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion right along with that most of the time.
Studied out of that, so I read that book over 1,000 times. My grandmother believed in reading the book 50 times, you would memorize it, and you write it down. Well, I followed that formula because for the first 12 years of my life, from 3 to 12 years old, them two grandmothers that kept me, one week one kept me, the other kept me. And when my daddy got out of the Navy and mama graduated from college, I didn't go back to live with them. The other four siblings lived with them. They believed in you reading whatever they gave you 50 times. And they had a certain method of they used to teach reading in the public school when it was all Negro colored people, and they taught reading for the first 6 years. You had a subject called reading where you would read and explain the paragraph. Well, I use that system right now. That's why I know what I know right now, and that's why I have memorized a whole lot of stuff. It's because a message from my ass to my brain, as Big Mama and them would put it. This is how they taught me how to read. So I use that system. I got them two old women minds now at my age. And if you read a book more than one, two, three, four times, you know it. That's like I done read the Bible over 2,000 times. God damn it, I had to read to them from 7 years old every damn day the Bible. God, they bullshitting me. They couldn't see. But they was teaching me.
Right.
They was teaching me. But I hope that we test a little bit. We ain't even test the tip of government. But you have to go back and research of what you've been put up under to understand why you redlined right now and why the government. And ask yourself, America, not the United States, where do you fit in America? This government call you what? Do it call you a citizen or it call you an emancipated ex-slave? Which one are you?
Yeah.
In America? See, I mean, which one are you? This is what they call the hidden government, the shallow government. I recommend you get a book that was William Cooper wrote, Behold the Pale White Horse. He was my company commander in the Navy. I was stationed with him at Virginia Beach, Virginia. Him and Mr. Corbett, we played badminton. I was the champion on the East Coast in badminton. In 65 and 66, when they had the competition up there on sports and stuff. And me and Mr. Corbett, my CO, and he was the XO. Me and my CO, we would play doubles together, but then nobody beat me on singles. I didn't let my white boy beat me doing shit. That's the way my daddy won't let white people beat you. If you do something, you damn sure don't let a white boy beat you. You let another nigga beat you, but don't let a white boy beat you. But I hope you have understand it's very central, because if we got people like that represent us, congressmen and shit. I can ask Ross Westman or any of them damn city officials down there now anything about this, to explain this about the government. They can't explain it. How the hell are you going to represent somebody and you can't explain what you're representing?
Yeah.
Right now, we went deep off into that. So I see we got about 3 minutes, and that proprietorship, I'm glad you explained that real good. That's the key to this government.
Right, because it's one of the three of a colonial government.
Yeah,
so it's a royal... And proprietorship, I went right to that, you know.
Yeah, and see, this deal with families, these same families is living right now. The families that they started out with is the families that has the most power in America.
Yep.
And then you had to trace their bloodline all down and do that shit. We done did that shit. So we done traced the history. See, I got a book called A History of the signers of the Declaration of Independence. Every last one of them had a shield in England. What do that mean? Maybe you have to talk on that.
Nice. We don't need to talk about that because it's going to open up a very interesting can of worms.
Duke of York had a shield. What do that mean? Up under the Stuarts, the Crusaders, the Byzantine.
Yeah.
I say Byzantine ain't no damn Christian, no damn thing about a Byzantine that look like me and you. And that's where it was Byzantine before it was Christianity. It was Ottoman before it was Muslim. He was Ottoman.
Yeah. Yep.
And who is the people in the Ukraine? Attila the Hun. Who is Attila the Hun? Then you know who the Ukrainian is. Who's calling himself a Ukrainian? Who was he in the beginning? They don't tell you that history.
Yeah.
Shemaya, Kamadiyah. We'll get together next week.
Kamadiyah. Until next week.